Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so everyone keeps asking me which AI coding tool they should commit to. Cursor? Claude Code? Windsurf? The conventional wisdom right now is that the market's about to consolidate. Pick a winner. Lock in your workflow. And honestly, I think that reading is completely backwards. We're not in the consolidation phase yet. We're in the explosion phase, and that changes everything. Let me explain what I mean. Right now, hundreds of these tools are all sprinting toward the same finish line. The IDE plugin adds agents, the agent tool adds an IDE, the chat adds a terminal, the terminal adds chat. What looks like convergence is actually just copying. Everyone's building the same all-in-one product because that's what their funding decks promised. But here's the thing. For consolidation to actually happen, three things need to be true. First, the surface area of the problem needs to stabilize, but it's not stable, not even close. Last year, AI coding meant autocomplete plus chat. This year, it's autonomous agents filing pull requests. Next year, it'll be something else entirely. The ground is still moving. Second, the winners need to be obvious enough that buying them is cheaper than building. But Cursor and Claude Code and Windsurf, they're all still in land grab mode. Nobody's looking for exits yet. They're looking for market share. And third, distribution needs to matter more than capability. That's when the big players can just buy the tech and bolt it onto their existing user base. But right now, capability still matters more. These tools are genuinely different from each other. The differences aren't cosmetic, they're architectural. So what does that mean for builders? Here's what stood out to me in the piece we're covering today. Most of these tools are going to die. Not because they're bad, but because they were built for a window that already closed by the time they shipped. The survivors won't be the ones trying to be platforms. They'll be the ones that pick a real wedge and go deep. A wedge is something an all-in-one tool won't bother with, but that you can't work without once you've tried it. Latency. Cost per task. Long context handling, integration with the tools you already use, one specific job, done better than anything else. The takeaway? If you're building an AI coding tool right now, don't try to be a platform yet. There's far more room in owning one specific wedge than in being the 10th company to build an all-in-one IDE. Worth thinking about for your own projects, right? Sometimes the best strategy is to be really good at one thing, not mediocre at everything. Right, completely different corner of the world now. MIT just launched something that genuinely surprised me. It's called OpenProtein.ai, and it's a no-code platform that gives biologists access to protein language models, the kind of tools that usually require a machine learning PhD just to understand the documentation. Here's why this matters. Drug development is slow because designing proteins is hard. You need to understand biology and machine learning and how to wire the two together. Most researchers are brilliant at one of those things, not all three. So progress bottlenecks at the translation layer. OpenProtein removes that bottleneck. Their platform wraps AI models in interfaces that biologists already understand. No coding, no ML expertise required, just the research question you're trying to answer. Their core model is called POET, and it's trained on protein sequences to predict how mutations affect function. But the real product isn't the model, it's the accessibility. Researchers who've never touched a command line can now run experiments that would have required a computational biology team 6 months ago. The big picture? AI in science isn't just about making things faster. It's about removing the expertise barriers that kept entire fields locked behind specialization. When a tool is easy enough that a grad student can use it on day one, the pace of discovery changes. Something to think about if you're building tools in any domain. The interface is the product. The AI is just plumbing. Now, this next one is properly fascinating. Bar-Ilan University just demonstrated something that sounds impossible. They sent quantum information across 23 frequency channels, simultaneously, not sequentially, all at once. Let me explore why that's a big deal. Quantum communication has always had this bottleneck. You can send quantum states through optical fibers, but traditionally you're doing it one channel at a time. It's like having a motorway with only one lane open. Technically it works, but it's slow. What Bar-Ilan did was crack that bottleneck wide open. They figured out how to send, manipulate, and measure quantum information across 23 different frequency channels in parallel. Same fiber, same beam of light, 23 secure channels running at the same time. Think about what that means for a second. Quantum networks aren't just theoretical anymore, they're real. But they're limited by how much information you can push through the infrastructure. This breakthrough doesn't just make things faster, it changes the economics. If you can multiplex quantum channels like this, suddenly the cost per bit of quantum communication drops dramatically. And the timing matters. We're at this weird inflection point where quantum computing is starting to work. But the infrastructure to connect quantum systems together is still being built. Breakthroughs like this are what turn lab demos into actual networks. The takeaway? Quantum isn't just about computation anymore. It's about building the pipes that let quantum systems talk to each other. And those pipes just got 23 times wider. Have a think about what that enables. Distributed quantum computing, quantum secured networks that don't bottleneck at the communication layer. The architecture of the thing just changed. Okay, so this one is a bit heavier. But stay with me. There's a new framework for using AI agents in nuclear control rooms. I know, nuclear safety and AI agents in the same sentence sounds terrifying, but the approach here is actually really thoughtful. It's called NUHF CLAW, and the key thing is what it doesn't do. It doesn't let the AI make decisions. It supports the human operator by tracking cognitive state and running real-time safety assessments. The human stays in control. The AI just watches for gaps. Here's the problem they're solving. Digital control rooms are complex, hundreds of sensors, multiple systems running in parallel. It's cognitively overwhelming. Operators can miss things, not because they're careless, but because human attention has limits. NUHF CLAW couples cognitive state inference with safety constraints. It knows what the operator is focused on, it knows what they're not focused on, and if something safety critical gets missed, it flags it. But it never takes action, it never overrides, it just makes sure the human has the information they need to decide. What I keep coming back to is the design philosophy. This isn't AI replacing humans, it's AI compensating for the limitations of human attention in high-stakes environments. The human is still the decision maker, the AI is just a very smart checklist. The big picture? As AI gets deployed in safety-critical systems, this is the model that works. Not autonomous agents making decisions. Constrained assistants that preserve human authority while reducing cognitive load. Worth having a conversation about with your team if you're building AI for high-stakes environments. The constraint is the feature. Right. Last one. Factory just raised $150 million at a $1.5 billion valuation. They're building AI coding tools. But specifically for enterprises, not startups, not solo developers. Big companies with legacy code bases and compliance requirements. Kosla Ventures led the round. The company's 3 years old. And they're betting that enterprise AI coding is a fundamentally different problem than consumer AI coding. Here's why they might be right. Startups can rip out their entire stack and rebuild on whatever's fastest. Enterprises can't. They've got decades of code, multiple languages, integration points everywhere. Security audits, compliance requirements. You can't just let an AI agent rewrite the authentication system. Factory is building for that reality. AI that understands enterprise constraints, that works with existing workflows, that doesn't require ripping everything out and starting over. And honestly, that's probably where the real money is. Consumer AI tools get the headlines, but the companies that figure out how to bring AI into the enterprise safely, those are the ones that build sustainable businesses. The takeaway? The sexiest market isn't always the biggest market. Sometimes boring problems at scale are more valuable than exciting problems at the bleeding edge. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The AI coding tool market isn't consolidating yet. It's exploding. Most tools will die. But the survivors won't be the all-in-one platforms. They'll be the ones that solve one specific problem better than anyone else. Meanwhile, AI is removing expertise barriers in science. Quantum infrastructure is getting built, and the frameworks for deploying AI safely in high-stakes environments are starting to take shape. Something to think about over the weekend. Where are the wedges in your own work? The specific problems that nobody's solving properly because they're too focused on building platforms? That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.